Okay. We can get started then again. Again, thanks everybody for being here. We will start with the rule hearing for Rule 61G20-1.001, 7th edition, 2020, updated in the Florida Building Code. To review the commissions, started the 2020 code update process in October of 2017 with the selection of the 2018 I-codes and the 2017 NEC. The tax made recommendations on the I-code changes in June of 2018, and the commission decided on I-code changes in October of 2018. The tax made recommendations on proposed code modifications in March of 2019, and the tax decided on public comment to TAC recommendations on July of 2019. The commission decided on code modifications for the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code in August of 2018, and the tax made recommendations on public comments to the draft 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code in January of 2020. At the February 7th, 2020 rule workshop, the commission voted unanimously to adopt the commission's package of approved code modifications to the 6th edition 2017 for inclusion in the draft 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code. Finally, in March of 2020, five TAC met to review topics, relevant public comments submitted to the Commission's 2020 draft code, and to provide the Commission's with recommendations. At the April 7th, 2020 rule workshop, the Commission voted unanimously for inclusion in the draft of the Florida Building Code 7th edition and to proceed with rule adoption of Rule 61G20-1.001 of the Florida Building Code. Today is the final step in the process with a rule hearing for Rule 61G20-1.001, the draft Florida Building Code 7th edition 2020. After a commission decides whether to take action on any substantive comments and any public comments provided during today's rule hearing, we will incorporate all approved amendments. At this juncture, the code update process, I would urge the commission to only consider making changes to our approved rule draft of the code and correct errors or update standards, et cetera, and not to revisit any proposed code amendments that have been well vetted numerous times already by the TAC and by the commission. Jeff will now explain the process to facilitate public comment and the commission's discussion. Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the process that we use is we're all very familiar with. I'll ask if anybody from the public wishes to make a comment, anybody wishes to speak in favor of the comment, anybody in opposition. We'll be using our three-limit time limits, and we'll allow one collective rebuttal opportunity on the pro side and the con side of 2 minutes each. We ask that you, if you agree with something, just to state agreement and make new points, but don't repeat the same points. All public comments will be considered individually, followed by the commission action. I'll either take a motion to approve it, a motion to approve it as amended if they do so, or if there's no motion to approve, or there's no motion to approve and, no second is offered, then the proposed amendment would be deemed not approved. So once we take action on all the verbal comments that were submitted writtenly, on all verbal comments, we'll also take action on those that we received previously. We've received one from Joe Hetzel and one from Eric Stafford, and then we received a late one from Brian Holland. So we'll take other ones first, then we'll take those, and then we'll proceed through in that manner. Again, 75% it would be required, and all discussion on any delays of the code will occur after we finish discussing the amendments and separate from that. So please hold that. We will have a discussion as needed on that before a formal motion to proceed with rule adoption occurs. So just hold your comments until the appropriate time. Commissioner Shock will introduce that at the right moment.
All right.
So does any, tell you what, I'm going to change. Let's go ahead and go with the written one. So first is Mr. Joe Hetzel. I believe Joe has a reference standard update. Mr. Hetzel, would you like to speak? Or Mo, did you want to say something first? Sorry.
I think maybe, the code change is very clear. It's really asking for a standard update and some modifications to the standard title. But Joe probably on the line to speak on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. All right, Joe, you there? Joe Hetzel. We know he was here previously. So, Joe, you may be muted, but in the interim, is there anybody else that wishes to speak on the other? I see Joe there. Joe, he's still there.
Well, he's trying to get, unmuted. Joe Belcher.
Oh. Go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Joe Belcher or Joe Hetzel?
Joe Belcher or Joe Hetzel?
Joe Belcher, for Aluminum Association of Florida, we support this update of the standard, sunroom standard.
Anybody else wish to speak in favor?
Yes,
can
Jeff.
You hear me?
Joe Hetzel? 1 second. Joe Hetzel, go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me, Jeff?
We can hear you now, Joe. Go ahead.
Very good. Thank you. Good morning, Jeff, and members of the commission. This is Joe Hetzel with Thomas Associates representing the National Sunroom Association. The purpose of this is to update the standard. It's fairly straightforward. The standard was published late last year. It's an AMA NSA 2100-19. And it's fairly straightforward as to the updates. You know, it includes reference to ASCE 716, which is consistent with the Florida Building Code, and the changes that were made did not materially affect the manufacturers. So this request is strictly to update the standard. We also made a typographical change regarding the place in the code where the standard is referenced. So I pretty much stand on the supporting reasoning. It's pretty straightforward to update the standard. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Anybody else in the public wish to speak in support?
Good morning. This is Jennifer Hatfield on behalf of the Fenestration and Glazing Industry Association, formerly AMA, and we also are in support of this code change. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Does anybody wish to speak in opposition? Hearing none, we'll go to the commission for a motion. Is there a motion to approve this, adopt this change into the code?
Yeah, Jeff, Shane Garwood, move for approval.
Second, Moorhead.
All right, we have a motion and a second. You want to do
all
it, Jim?
Favor.
Yep.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Next.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
All right, next is a comment on an updated wind speed map from Eric Stafford. Mo, do you want to say something before Eric?
Yeah, very quickly, this is really something we discovered while we are trying to review the differences between the old code, the 2017 and the 2020. There seems we discovered there is an error in the map, in the panhandle, with regard to the wind speed, especially between the current risk category 3 and 4 map comparing to the new map, which is risk category 4 buildings. And Eric is on the line, will provide more details. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Eric.
Yeah. Hey, can you hear me, Jeff?
We can, yes.
Great. Yeah. Commissioners, this is Eric Stafford with IBHS. And first of all, I want to apologize for bringing this to you at such a late date, not catching this earlier, but really kind of stumbled upon it a couple of weeks ago. Mo had asked what the impacts were of the new risk category 4 map. And as mentioned earlier, the next edition of the Florida Building Code will adopt ASC 716, and one of the big changes in there is a new risk category four map. And the way these risk category maps work, the higher the risk category, the higher the wind speed, because they're based on longer return periods. This new wind speed map is based on a 3,000 year return period. So, like I said, Mo had asked what the changes were between the three and the four. And so, you know, I said, well, you know, I'll have to, you know, take a look at it. So I picked about somewhere between 30 and 35 cities scattered throughout the state, just trying to get an estimate of what the increase from going from the risk category three to the risk category four map. And like I said, stumbled upon in the Big Bend area where Hurricane Michael hit. Particularly Franklin and Gulf County, where the risk category three wind speeds were less than the risk category four wind speeds, which is wrong and counterintuitive. So I talked to Mo and also called Peter Vickery, who is the ARA, the firm that's been developing the maps for ASC 7 for many, many years. And he says, oh, yeah, I forgot there's an error in the Big Bend area of Florida. It had to do with the new modeling technique. And he, if you look in the comment I submitted, I won't read through it, but he did, you know, kind of explain why there was an error. This is going to be fixed in ASC 722, but they're not going to do anything with 16. But so, this map that's up on the screen right now, it shows this is all the changes to the map. The dotted red contours are the lines that exist in the draft now. The black contour in this circle area is where the corrected lines will be. So it shifts them a little further inland. So it'll increase the wind speeds for risk category four buildings and structures. Now these are essential facilities, those that need to be operational after an event. They just shouldn't be less than risk category three. It's a higher risk category. So at any rate, this is the proposed fix. Just these few counties and a little bit increase in, Liberty, Wakulla, Leon, and, Gadsden County as well. As you can see, the 130 contour moves a little bit. But, again, this is clearly an error. I apologize. If I'd have caught this earlier, I'd have clearly submitted something to fix it, but we ask for your support.
All right, thank you, Eric. Does anybody else in the public wish to speak in favor?
Mike Silvers, FRSA, in favor of Eric change.
Thank you, Mike. Anybody else?
Joe Belcher.
Joe Belcher is next. Go ahead, Joe.
Joe Belcher, FHVA, in support.
All right, go ahead, Mike.
Mike Fisher, ARMA, support.
Anybody else? Is there anybody in opposition? Hearing no opposition, commissioners, is there a motion to adopt this revision of the updated wind speed map?
Brown so moved.
We have Brown and Boyer, Commissioner Schock.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded. If there's no further discussion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Next, Jeff.
Okay, so next we did receive on May 18th after the deadline a comment submitted by Brian Holland. Mo, do you want to introduce that before I go to Brian?
Yes, I think the first one, I think Brian claims that staff have really made an error by removing the lightning requirement from section 467.83.7 of the Florida Building Code Bill in 2020. However, to refresh your memory, August 2018 commission meeting, as you recall, Commissioner Brown have asked that a number of code changes be pulled off the consent agenda, and namely 7639, this is what's really being brought here, 7209, 7218, 7255, some of them were voted as no affirmative recommendation. However, with regard to 7639, which is added lightning protection to 467.8.3.7. The commission decided that all the requirements or changes that relate to lightning requirements be removed from the code, these code changes, and that's what the staff did. And they removed section 467.8.37, which was introduced as a new change to 476.83.7. So there was no, to our understanding, there were no term here, just the staff implemented what the commission asked for. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. So just to summarize so for accuracy, what you're saying is that what staff did in the code is reflective of the commission's actions and decisions, and that's how you're standing, correct?
That's correct. I'll do that after 2000.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, so Brian Holland, are you on?
Good morning. Brian Holland, the Codes and Standards. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to disagree with that analysis just provided by Mr. Madani, and I would have to see evidence of that, because I had not missed a single special occupancy TAC meeting this cycle, nor did I miss a single Florida Building Commission meeting. And I provided the entire case history for 7639 in my substantiation, as you see on the screen. In fact, 7639 was never mentioned at all during the August 2019 commission meeting. The only ones that were discussed were my petitions to revise the current requirements for light protection for hospitals, nursing homes, and for SRF. The only mention that was made to 7639 during that meeting was by me, myself, when I notified staff as a point of order that because the modifications I submitted for the other sections did not get approved, it was imperative that we go back to 7639A1 and simply revise what the commission and TAC had already approved to the language that 420.3.19 would be reverted back to. That was it. No official action was taken. No vote was made. There is no formal action by the commission to remove this section. So I disagree with that analysis, and I think the original submitter, Mr. Gregory, intended for this section to be added. However, when he wrote it, he harmonized that with my proposals to modify the LPS requirements, and that's the only note that we made. So what I'm asking is really half errata, half comment for modification is change it to harmonize and match. And then you need to go into the reference sections in chapter 35 and correct some of the pointers that happen there, as it has pointers that do not exist and pointers that are not correct. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Anybody else wish to speak in support of this amendment? All right. Anybody wish to speak in opposition?
Belcher, Florida Homebuilders Association.
Go ahead, Joe.
First, I'd like to say that Mr. Madani was correct in his evaluation there. I think he made one mistake. I think it was Commissioner Wiseman that requested these all be pulled off the consent agenda. We did have an attorney for a manufacturer of a lightning protection system said that approval of these changes, and we pulled all the changes that were adding lightning protection in, including this one, and the commission did in fact agree to take those out of the code. We had an attorney for a manufacturer that said that this change, this series of changes, the way NFPA 7780 was being adopted would basically outlaw his system. And his system has been used in Florida for better than 20 years, used successfully. I agree again with Mr. Madani's assessment, and I would also mention what Commissioner Schock or Chairman Schock said at the beginning. We heard all this stuff ad infinitum. Let's just stay with the procedure and the process and our former recommendations. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Belcher. Anybody else wish to speak in opposition?
Mike Silvers, FRSA. We agree with Joe's statement and would be opposed to taking this up. Thank you.
All right, anybody else? All right, not hearing any. Mr. Holland, would you like your rebuttal opportunity?
Yes, thank you, Brian Holland, in the Code and Standards. So go back and listen to the recording. It's absolutely wrong. 7639 was never pulled during that meeting. I was there. I do know the conversations we had on my modifications. I'm the only person that mentioned 7639 as a courtesy. So no action was taken. Nothing's in the minutes. There's no formal action in any of the tracking charts whatsoever that mentions this. This was an internal change that was made to 7639 that never was in the open or under commission purview, and that's disturbing to me. That's that. Thank you so much.
All right, would Mr. Belcher, would you like a rebuttal opportunity?
No, thank you.
All right, so we're going to the commission. Does any commissioner wish to take any action on this? All right, there's been no motion, therefore these changes are deemed not approved. All right, we're going to continue. Is there anybody else in the public who wishes to comment on any of the commission's adopted code amendments before we move forward?
Yes, this is Mike Fisher.
Go ahead, Mike.
All right, thank you.
Exactly what it is.
So what's happened is we have been going through some of the testing protocols for the Miami-Dade HVAC.
Point of order, I still have two comments in my comment set.
Oh, okay, my mistake, sorry. Oh,
I'll stand down, thank you.
We'll go back. I thought we were speaking to all of them. Go ahead, Brian.
I apologize. There's actually three separate comments to this one document. And I apologize, that wasn't made clear. Brian Holland, NEMA Codes and Standards. This is in relation to C-503-1 and C-503.6. Again, you can read the substantiation on your own. I'm changing up what my recommendation is here a little bit. Clearly, if you read the history on this, 503-1 exception number 7 is in direct conflict with 503.6. Testimony was provided otherwise that said they can work together and they have different requirements, and nothing is further from the truth. Please, just look at the history. These are in direct conflict. One of them has to go. Now, what's in the 2018 IECC, what's in the 2021 IECC is C-503.6. That's the national model now for lighting alterations of the existing provisions of the Energy Code. C-503.11 exception 7 is gone. It's been gone for two cycles now on the I-codes. So what I'm recommending is we follow the C-503-6 criteria. That's what's in the National Model Code. That's also what's in ASHRAE. However, for the benefit of electrical professionals and lighting designers in Florida, one of them has to go. So if you're not in favor of the 10% threshold and you want to revert back to the 50% threshold, then change C-503.6 to say 50%. Or get rid of 503.6 and go back to the C-503-1 criteria. Either way, one slightly increases energy conservation, one slightly increases energy consumption. I don't think it's a huge game changer, but one of them has to go. So please decide which one and delete it. Thank you so much.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah,
this is Mal Madani. If you're still okay with me. I want to remind everybody here, at the February 11 workshop, same request came before the TAC and the commission, and the action was no affirmative recommendation. Just to give this information. Thank you.
Yep, and I was actually planning on asking you to speak before we got the rest of the public, so thanks, Mel. Okay, anybody else in the public wish to speak in support of this proposed amendment? Anybody in opposition?
Joe Belcher, Florida Homebuilders Association.
I'm not really sure that I'm in opposition since Brian put a new option out there. If we want to delete, if the commission wants to take any action, which I don't recommend they do, but if you do, I would say delete C503.6. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else wish to speak in opposition? Anybody else wish to speak on this proposal? Okay. Hearing no additional comment from the public, commissioners, does anybody wish to make a motion to adopt this amendment? There being no second, the motion would be deemed not approved. The action would be deemed not approved. Let's go to the third one. Mo, would you speak to this before we go to Brian?
Yeah, I think really the same thing, really, with regard to section 8.4.2, which is proposed to be put back, which is mainly bring in the receptacle requirements that's in ASHRAE 90.1 and also 8.4.2 with regard to the monitoring requirements. Those all came before the tax and the commission, and the outcome was no affirmative recommendation at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Brian, go ahead.
Brian, on the Code and Standards. So my strategy on this one today was I was gonna read you a 3-minute testimony on why I think this is so important that we revert back to what's in the current code. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm out of courtesy. During the last cycle, I submitted several modifications to enhance and expand lightning protection requirements of the code that were approved. They were approved by the electric tech, special occupancy tech, and the commission all the way to the last meeting when it blew up. And suddenly there were two stakeholder groups that were absolutely opposed to each other. And the commission's response was to hold the status quo, leave the code alone as written, and convene a working group to look at the matter, to study it, come up with recommendations, and report back to the commission. This has been a contentious issue between myself, representing NEMA, and Joe Duff, representing the Home Builders Association. So what I would request is that we extend that same courtesy, hold the line. We don't know the impacts. There's unintended consequences of removing these requirements from both the ASHRAE 90.1 standard and from C405.5 of the Florida Building Code Energy Conservation. So I would ask you to do that. Then what we can do is we can come back after a convening work group looks at the situation, determines the true cost-benefit analysis, right? Looks at all the case studies, determines what the impacts are, and we can do that in a glitch cycle, or we can do it next cycle. So I'm not asking for any expansion. This doesn't add any cost. This doesn't add any new requirements. It just holds the line of what's been in the last two editions of the Florida Building Code Energy Conservation. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Anybody else wish to speak in support of the amendment? Does anybody wish to speak in opposition?
Joe Belcher, Florida Homeowners Association. Actually, we proposed these changes at the request of electrical engineers and electrical contractors that thought that they were expensive and did not really help the energy situation. We would oppose a work group. That's just a way to try to get a group another way to try to get somebody to approve his changes, which the commission has already rejected. I don't know how many times this thing's been rejected now, but again, I would just request that you maintain what you've done and leave this alone. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else wish to speak in opposition? Brian, do you want a rebuttal opportunity?
Yes, thank you. Brian Holland, NEMA Codes and Standards. So I just want to say that the evidence that was provided for these was anecdotal at best. No case studies, no analysis, and that has been the argument that HBA has been professing for the entire triennial code update cycle. Provide an analysis of this. Tell us the impacts, not just the cost. That's just one metric. So again, I ask you to reconsider. This is a significant change that has not been analyzed or has not been impact statement. I provided the opposite. I've provided now 7 case studies for automatic receptacle control and 1 case study for energy monitoring. That's third-party, peer-reviewed, nationally published consensus documents that have now put into the ASHRAE document and the upcoming 2021 IECC. This is a big mistake, and I simply ask for the courtesy that was extended last cycle to the opponents to my lightning protection that did end up resulting in no changes. So, again, please take that under consideration and maintain the code as written.
All right, thank you, Brian. Mr. Belcher, would you like a rebuttal opportunity?
No, thank you.
All right, that concludes public comment coming to the commission. Does any commissioner wish to make a motion in support of this proposed amendment? All right, the proposed amendment is deemed not approved for lack of a motion or second. All right, so that concludes the written submittals. Mr. Fisher, I believe that you had the floor.
Thank you, sir. And I must apologize, but I'm going to go back and cite the unintended consequences. We've been reviewing some task documents, and I'll thank Greg Keeler from Owens Corning, who caught an editorial change that was part of some changes that we worked on with Miami-Dade. We did not file it. I did send the email to Mo, so I don't know if Mo is able to share that or not, but we would like to make one minor editorial change to task 103 to strike a phrase that was inadvertently added to 103, we thought for editorial consistency, not for any technical reason in the last cycle, but that has resulted in some significant problems with testing values for elongation for underlayments. I know it's an exciting topic, and I appreciate everybody bearing with us, but essentially, there is a phrase that requires you to rate the elongation values at ultimate load condition for some products. And that was applied to task 103 inappropriately, incorrectly during some of you remember that process we went through with Miami-Dade in the last cycle with ARMA and others working with them. So what we proposed in the email that I sent to Mo just a little bit ago, and Ryan Swope is aware of this, we raised it with him, to strike the 4 words that say at ultimate load condition in section 10.1.4.3 of task 103. It's a simple simple tweak that actually restores it to the prior language so that we can get away from this unintended consequence. And with that, I'll ask Mo. I'm not sure, Mo, if you're able to share that so people can actually see it or not.
I'm not, but at this point, I do have your comment, and it seems it's very, very straightforward, which is to remove the front section 10.1.4.3, the term at ultimate load condition. The one thing I would ask at this point is whether, Miami-Dade staff or, have you talked to them or what their position on that and all that. So I'm wondering.
Yes.
We'll get with the public. Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, are you done? So I can move on to other people.
Yeah, I'm fine. I think that describes it enough. And we'll go from there. And if we need to rebut, then I'll take that. Hopefully, I won't need to.
Mo, if you sent the email to Tom, he could share it just for while we're getting other public comment. You just
forward
no problem. Mike, if you could email it to Tom Campbell.
I'll go ahead and do it. Tom should have it now. Go ahead.
All right, great. When Tom gets it, he'll put it up. Okay. Who else would like to speak in support of this proposed amendment?
Mike Silver, in support.
All right, Mike Silvers, in support.
Greg Keeler from Owens Corning, in support.
All right.
Joe Belcher, FHBA, in support.
All right. I noted earlier that Jamie Gascon was on the phone. I don't currently see him. Is there anybody from Miami-Dade County on the phone?
So Vince and Eddie Fernandez were on.
Yeah, I saw Eddie.
Yeah, Gaspar's here.
Okay. Would you like to speak?
You don't have Gaspar. You don't hear Gaspar speaking?
Yeah, we hear you. Go ahead.
Jeff?
Yes, we hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jeff. Okay, Jeff. We work with Mike Fisher, and we work quite a bit on this. I would just ask Mike if he can send the...
Gaspar, you're kind of...
Our quality control guys are the ones that went over all the testing and applications.
Gaspar, you were breaking up there. Part of what we could only hear part of what you said. So,
is it breaking up?
Yeah, you asked if Mike could send this to you. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, we just want to see it ourselves, the change. And again, I cannot answer on the technicalities of this. Our product control section is the one that goes over the TASs. So if Mike can send it to us, you know, and product control can look at it, we get back to him, you know, very quickly on it.
I just send it to Jamie Gaskin, so he should have it.
Yep, Jeff, if I may respond to that.
Go ahead.
All right, thank you. And Greg Keeler is one who actually spoke with the Miami-Dade staff on this. My understanding is that they were okay, and I'm not sure who you spoke with, Greg, maybe you can speak to rebuttal on this.
I spoke to George Acebo, I didn't get the impression they were opposed to the language. Their biggest issue was that they didn't think that this could be initiated at this time, this late in the code cycle.
And obviously we figured out we can, so that's why we're here.
All right, anybody else in the public wish to speak in support? Anybody wish to speak in opposition? You can see the changes up here on the screen now. Okay, well, we've heard from the public. We'll kind of go back to the commission. Does any commissioner wish to make a motion in regards to this amendment?
I make a motion. We approve it. Swope.
We have a motion.
Shane Gerwig, I got that.
And we have a second from Commissioner Gerwig. We have a motion and a second. So discussion, Commissioner.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Jeff?
Yes, sir. Tom, would you mind emailing me that as well so I can make sure I reference that in my report?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. Any other members of the public wish to speak on any proposed code amendments? Okay, so that concludes public comment on those. We've incorporated three changes to the adopted version, the reference standard from Hetzel and the wind speed map from Stafford, and then Fisher's TAS deletion of the words at ultimate load condition. Okay, so that concludes that portion. So Commissioner Shock, would you go ahead and read the next section?
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Before I request a motion to proceed with the rule adoption, at the April 7th, 2020 meeting, Commissioner Stone reported that he has been contacted by product manufacturers with the request to delay the effective date of the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code by 6 months due to impact from the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. We agreed to defer the discussion until until the June meeting. To date, the commission received 8 written comments linked to the agenda and 2 additional comments received after the deadline was posted by all 10 stakeholders. They were in opposition to postponing the effective date of the code. Does anyone from the public wish to speak on this issue before the commission discusses whether they want to consider the change to the code's effective date of December 31st, 2020? Jeff will
facilitate. Yes, this is John Cranelli, Vision Code.
Hold on, John. Yeah. John, hold on. Okay, sorry, Commissioner Shock. I'll be
happy.
Okay. I'll be happy. Okay, I'm going to get a list of names. Okay, and again, we're using our time limits. John Farinelli, go ahead.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. I see no reason whatsoever in any way, shape, or form to delay the implementation of the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code. Florida is always behind the curve to begin with. I do not understand the reasoning behind it. If somebody could explain that to me, I would appreciate it, but I am vehemently opposed to delay. Thank you.
Okay, I think that was clear. Who else would like to speak?
Joe Belcher, are you going to make a list, Jeff, or can I go?
Well, you can go, yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure up front to make it clear to everybody, I am not speaking for the Florida Home Builders Association on this issue. Dane Menon is on the call, and he's going to speak. This is a policy decision, a policy thing with FHBA, and that Dane will address that. I am representing the masonry and concrete industries, the aluminum industry, who I know the Florida Concrete Coalition, Association of Florida, Florida Concrete Product Association, Florida Independent Concrete Products and Associated Products Association, and the, I think there's one more in there. I think I got them all. But, they're all opposed. They are manufacturers, producers. They have new standards that have been updated in the new code, and they would like to get those in play immediately. They feel that they're representatives of those organizations have spoken with engineers, and the engineers that work in product approval said that they would see this as a economic hit for them. They're already being hurt enough with the coronavirus issues, and this would hurt more. Some of those engineers also said that they'd provide a discount because they know this is a rush time for product approval when a new code comes out. And that those discounts would the manufacturer would no longer get those discounts, and there are a number of reasons, but we do oppose the groups I'm talking about, aluminum, concrete, masonry, do oppose the delay of the implementation. Thank you.
Who else would like to?
This is Rick Logan.
Go ahead, Rick.
Rick Logan, representing AIA Florida, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. AIA Florida supports the delay of implementing the 7th edition of the Florida Building Code beyond December 31st, 2020 for a few months. During the course of this pandemic, many of our members have had projects placed on hold or postponed until such time that their clients determine when the economy has sufficiently recovered to proceed. If and when these postponed projects start up again, having to update construction documents to comply with a new edition of the code would place undue strain on both the firms and their clients. Delays are certain to happen. Add to that the probability that there will be a second surge in COVID-19 cases this fall. If we truly care about the interests of the public and the economy, then delaying the implementation of the 2020 Florida Building Code for a few months would be of great benefit. Some of the correspondence in today's agenda argues that there would be less time for the code development cycle for the 8th edition. That should not be the case, as there's no reason to interrupt the proposed schedule from the delay of the issuance of the 7th edition. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you, Rick. Anybody else in the public wish to comment on whether for or against the delay?
Mr. Chairman, this is Dane Bennett with FHBA.
Go ahead, Dane.
FHBA is neutral on the delay with one... I'm sorry, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, FHBA is neutral on the delay with one provision, and that would be if there is a delay, the 7th edition would still be in effect for 3 years following the 6-month delay. It's our belief that a 3-year code is already too short, and we would oppose anything that would ultimately shorten the length of any edition of the code or future codes. Thank you.
Thank you, Dane. Okay, somebody else had offered a comment. I didn't catch that.
This is Don Beers. Can you hear me?
We can, Don. Go ahead.
This is Don Beers. I'm the structural engineer for the Masonry Association of Florida, and I oppose the delay. The 3-year code cycle has accelerated the construction specification world into a fast-moving, tightly grouped, coordinated pack of suppliers, customers, and competitors, all jockeying for position and depending on major code changes occurring at the scheduled time. As in any construction project, the delay in arrival of a major component is devastating for that project all the way down the line. The Florida Building Code is a linchpin of the Florida construction industry. Every part of that industry, from specifications to manufacturing to installation to inspection, is geared to receive the seventh edition in the promised time frame. It is good for the industry and thus the public that the Florida Building Code be delivered to the construction industry on schedule. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Anybody else wish to speak on the matter?
Brian Hollenema.
Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you. I've read all the written comments submitted and hearing the other verbal comments shared today, it seems very clear that there would be a significant economic and commercial impact to just about every industry with an interest in the Florida Building Code. However, I'm most concerned about the impacts on the health, safety, and general welfare of the public that would be compromised by this action. There are many improvements to electrical safety, life safety, fire safety, and natural disaster resilience that should not be delayed. This also holds true for the energy conservation and efficiency enhancements that have been made to the code. All the homes and businesses constructed during the proposed delay period would lose out on the benefit of these important improvements. We also have a bunch of hidden impacts that have not been quantified or may have a significant long-term impact. We don't know what this impact would be on insurance premiums, on jurisdiction ISO BCAX ratings, on compliance with FEMA, NFIP, CRS, correlation with the Florida Fire Prevention Code, a big one. It goes on and on. So in closing, I would maintain the belief that the Florida Building Code and all those incorporated references are so far behind the national model code as it stands, further delay would just add insult to injury. However, I have come to accept the triennial work plan that has long been established this code cycle. While I would be in favor of setting an effective date 6 months early than scheduled, that action would be totally inappropriate and result in a bunch of unintended consequences itself. The same would hold true with a six-month delay. So please hold the standard. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Anybody else in the public wish to comment?
This is Robbie Dawson from FPA.
Go ahead, Robbie.
I think, you know, I had a couple of minutes of comment, but Brian Holland captured about 90% of what I wanted to say, so I'll just say ditto to what Brian said in regards to safety issues in the new code. But I'll just highlight the fact that our research foundation, or our Public Policy Institute, has identified the adoption of the most recent edition of model codes as a critical factor in the fire and life safety ecosystem. So you're looking at adopting a 2018 edition of standards and codes that are out there to be effective in 2021. So they're already 3 years old. So I'll just highlight the fact that adoption and use of the most recent edition of the codes has a significant impact on the fire and life safety of the residents and businesses in the community. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak on it?
Yes, this is Sarah Yerke. Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Sarah Yerke with the International Code Council. We oppose the delay in the effective date as well. We've been working to convince our decision makers that construction is an essential service during this COVID situation, and delaying the building codes, I think it contradicts the arguments we've been using about building departments providing essential services for public and safety health. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak from the public?
Hello, this is Jennifer Hoppo. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, great. Thank you. Representing the Fenestration and Glazing Industry Alliance, now, we're dedicated to manufacturing products that are going to comply with the upcoming 7th edition Florida Building Code. And so with regard to the delay, we just simply want to go on record asking that, you know, should the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic worsen over the next 6 months, maybe at that time the commission reconsider a delay if warranted. But more of our concern is just making sure that we confirm that an additional Florida Product Approval Committee meeting is going to be added prior to the December commission meeting, just so that way we'll give our members an additional 2 months from the last scheduled meeting in October to submit their product approvals in time for the currently planned effective date. So that's just something we wanted to make sure we get clarified today. And if not, if that was not planned, we would respectfully request the commission to do so. But with regard to the delay, we simply would just say that maybe that's something that might need to be reconsidered later if things worsen. But otherwise, we're neutral on that. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else in the public wish to comment? Go ahead, Andrew.
I'm representing myself for this comment. As a practicing structural engineer, I'm against delaying the implementation of the code.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else wish to comment?
This is David Smith from Eden.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'd just like to, first off, just say I'd like to ditto exactly what Mr. Dawson and Mr. Holland said about safety. That is absolutely pertinent whenever it comes to the delay of the code. One other thing I'd like to mention is that Eden, who I'm representing today, if, in case anybody not familiar, develops, manufactures, and sells electrical equipment in Florida and throughout the country. Any equipment that would need to be used to comply with the new code is already available, so that's not going to be an argument for this. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else wish to comment?
Good, Jeff, this is Steve Strong.
Go ahead, Steve.
Just real quick, I want to echo what Jennifer had mentioned. One of the big concerns is whether or not a December commission meeting will be heard. The members that I've talked to, or the manufacturers that I've talked to, are concerned about having the additional time. They've already had some delays, primarily a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, causing them some delays really in staffing to get some of this work done. So, delay of the code is not a desirable issue. I brought this up at the last meeting, and I recognize that there's a lot of opposition to this, but we do want to make sure that there's adequate time to respond to get product approvals completed. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Anybody else from the public wish to comment?
Jeff, Amanda Hickman.
Go ahead, Amanda.
Hi, thanks. I think the benefit of having the Florida Building Code effective at the scheduled date definitely outweighs the risk. We pride ourselves on making sure the Florida Building Code is cost effective. And I think, as many of the speakers have already stated, there could be a great many potential, consequences of changing that date. So with everything going on in the world and in our country and in Florida, I think the best thing is to keep on track with what we're scheduled for. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Anybody else in the public? All right. So, commissioners, you heard from the public. I think we had about nine in opposition, nine in opposition, two who are kind of conditional as long as there would be some opportunity for product approval, one who is in favor, and one neutral. That was the summary of public comments. All right, bringing it to the commission for any discussion and any decision, and then after that we will proceed with rule adoption. Commissioner? Sorry, Jim, do you want to say something?
Well, yeah, I just want to get on the list if you're going to stack names.
Well, let's get you started. How's that?
Okay, that's fine. I have three items. First of all, I just want to make note, because in the chat session, Linda Patrick from Gainesville is stating that she's also opposed to delaying the code. She said she didn't have a microphone, she wasn't on a phone, so she put it in the chat. So I just wanted to mention that. Secondly, as far as the industry goes, in our jurisdiction, we have not seen delays in any kind of permitting. In fact, we've had record permitting over the last couple months, even with this pandemic. And so I don't see any issues there. But the main concern I have is mismatching with the fire code. You know, the 553 requires us to coordinate with the fire code, and if we run risk of mismatching it, I think that could cause some real review issues down the road. So I'm in the corner of not delaying.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Compton, you are next.
Thank you, sir. And I am strongly against delaying the code. I think we need to keep moving forward the way we have been. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Commissioners, who else would like to speak?
Schiffer.
Schiffer.
Go ahead, Brad.
I agree with Jim. The biggest problem we would have, if we don't promulgate the two codes together at the same time, we're essentially creating a hybrid code in the middle. The two codes reference each other. We hopefully got them tuned out. We're not supposed to have any real conflicts with it. So the most important thing, for me anyway, is the fact that they both become active on the same date. Do we know if the fire code's scheduled to meet the deadline?
Commissioner Gatlin, are you prepared to
actually,
speak to that?
I know it's Tom.
Oh, go ahead, Tom.
And I know Mo has spoken
to
the fire marshal, and I'm sure he can enlighten us. But the last that I had heard is that they're on schedule, as planned.
Yeah, this is Juan Medani, so the chair. That's true, what Tom said. I did have a, communication with the fire marshal on this issue. I continue to have that. At this point, it is my understanding from the fire marshal that they are not mainly delaying for the fire prevention code, and it's still on track for December 31st, 2020. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo.
This is John Gatlin.
Go ahead, John.
And just to confirm, at this present time, the fire marshal's office is moving forward with the original implementation date. We are just waiting for final legal approval for the final hearing before final code adoption. So there is no plan for delay at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anybody, other commissioners wish to speak?
This is Bob Hamburger.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I agree with Mr. Holland and our chair with regard to the both codes, the fire and the building code, coming around at the same time. I also agree with Mr. Farinelli in that I really don't see one good reason for us not to have the code effective on December 31st.
Thank you, Ms. Commissioner. Any other commissioners wish to comment?
Yes, this is Commissioner Hoyer. I just want to jump in here and say I'm on board with Commissioner Schock. I think he summed it up well and just put me down as a ditto.
Okay. Any other commissioners wish to comment?
Yes, Commissioner Smith, ditto as well.
Very good. Drew, any other commissioners?
Yeah, this is Commissioner Schilling. I'm in favor of leaving it just as it is. I haven't seen enough of the stakeholders to illustrate how they affected by it not staying the same. And also, I share the concern about matching with the fire code and the importance of this disconnected from that. So I'm in favor of leaving it just as it is. Thank you.
All right. Any other commissioners?
Yeah, this is Commissioner Calleja. I only see a reason for delaying if we have to wait for the fire code. If we had to wait, then we would delay. But I don't think at this point that we should delay.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Calleja. Any other commissioners wish to comment? So, Commissioner Schock, everybody who spoke with from the commission was opposed to it, so there's no action needed. No one's making a motion to delay, so the date will be retained as we move forward. So maybe go ahead with the motion for the rule hearing.
So you want me to make a motion for?
No, just a motion at the very, for proceeding with rule adoption. We don't need to make a motion on the change date.
Because
The date stays the same.
Okay. So if there's no further discussion, commissioners, is there a motion to adopt the commission's package of approved code modifications to the 6th edition 2017 for inclusion in the draft 7th edition 2020 and to file a rule for adoption? Is there a motion and a second?
So moved, Stone.
Second, Boyer.
Stone and Boyer.
Stone and Boyer. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
How about just a small clap? It's been a long 3 years. All right.
Yeah, very good. Okay. Next, we'll get into the review and approval of the Commission's fiscal year 2019-2020 annual report. Each June, the Commission reviews and approves the Commission's fiscal year annual report. Our staff, as always, with your support and approval, is for the acting chair to review and approve the final draft of the annual report to ensure completeness and accuracy, and approve the report for submission to the legislature and the governor. Jeff will provide an overview of the report for the commission. Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this report will be updated to include the actions you took today, and those will be incorporated into the report. But in essence, the report goes over the primary focus of the commission during this past year, which of course was the development of the seventh edition of 2020, and then amending Rule 61G22.002 with a change to our process for statewide amendments to the code, which we did previously in the year, changes to the triennial process. So that was a primary focus, and it reflects that. It goes through and provides them with the information and dates relevant. Regarding process, it talks about the changes that were made to the Commission's organization and operation rules that revert the power to the chair of the Commission to the chair, to the vice chair, subject to review by the Commission. And in addition, we initiated rulemaking today to basically deal with the fact that there will no longer be an appointed chair and make revisions accordingly. It goes into the research for hurricane research projects and the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee's appointment and involvement back in the process as it were in the past. It goes into that. It goes into the much more detail on the code update process. And I'm on page 6 now, and there's just a highlight of the various main things that happened. And in this chart, I mostly focused on commission and TAC meetings and rural components of it. It's a smaller slice of Moe's work plan, just to kind of highlight the key pieces that have happened, culminating in the December 31st, 2020 effective day. And then the 2023 update. That's the next cycle, which will probably be started in the fall. This reflects the changes that were made that we did through rulemaking and our consensus building on a new process and new process documents going forward. Highlights our energy code initiatives, product approval system, education system, the work of the Fenestration Water Resistance Work Group, the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee being stood up, which I mentioned, talks about binding interpretations, the Ford accessibility deck statements about that, and then it provides the legislature with what the commission's done on their assignments. In essence, from the 2019 session, pretty much they're all been incorporated into the code, which you've adopted today. And then 2020 assignment will be, we just initiated rulemaking to implement the requirements of that. And that's pretty much it, Mr. Chairman. I think that reflects the key components of the report for the year.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there any discussion? There's no further discussion. Is there a motion to adopt the Commission's fiscal year 2019-2020 annual report, including any Commission actions taken today? And to charge the chair with the final report the middle to the legislature and governor. And is there a motion and a second?
Brown moves to adopt.
Goff will second.
All right, Brown and Goff.
Brown and Goff, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you, Jeff. Next, we'll move on to commission members' comments and issues. Are there any commissioners who wish to make any general comments to the commission or identify any issues or possible agenda items for future commission meetings? And I do have one comment, Jeff, when you get to it.
All right. Well, you're up first, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I just wanted to remind all the commissioners they should have received, or they will be receiving very shortly, the financial statement requirement form one, the form one, and just to make sure that you all know that that's out there and that has to be submitted. I think by the end of this month. So I'm not 100% on that, but I know I received the application just yesterday, actually. I just want to let everybody know about that.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other commissioners have any comments? All right, let's go on to public comment. Chairman.
All right, general public comment. If you wish to address the commission or have not yet signed the speaker's please do so now. The commission welcomes your comments on its actions or any other topics under commission purview or authority. Is there anybody from the public?
All right, let's go on, Mr. Chairman.
Nobody from the public? All right, next meeting, the August 4th, 2020 meeting, will focus on the Commission's regulatory procedural substantive issues, relevant rule development initiatives, and approving the funding of selected research projects for fiscal year 2020-2021. Staff will keep the Commission informed regarding whether we will have a face-to-face meeting in Fort Lauderdale or a virtual meeting. Anything else? If not, Jeff, would you conduct closing roll call?
Yes, sir. And before I do, commissioners, if you would, I emailed you each an evaluation form. You can either complete it in the email or the body of the email, or just download the Word document, fill it out, and email it back. If you could do that today or first thing or tomorrow morning, that would be much appreciated so I can complete my facilitator's report. All right. Commissioner Schock.
Yes, here.
Commissioner Bahadori.
Here.
Commissioner Batts.
Here.
Commissioner Boyer.
Here.
Commissioner Brown.
Present.
Commissioner Burke.
Here.
Commissioner Diaz.
Here.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Commissioner Dean.
Present.
Commissioner Fisher.
Here.
Commissioner Gatlin.
Here.
Commissioner Gerwig.
Here.
Commissioner Gilson.
Here.
Commissioner Goff.
Here.
Commissioner Gross.
Here.
Commissioner Humberger.
Here.
Commissioner John. David, are you here? Commissioner Langille.
Here.
Commissioner Schiffer.
Still on.
Commissioner Schilling.
I'm here.
Commissioner Smith.
Here. I'm here.
Okay. Commissioner Stone.
Here.
Commissioner Swope.
Here.
Commissioner Whitehead.
Here.
Commissioner Wiseman?
Here.
And Commissioner John, are you on? Can you see if he's still listed there?
He's still on.
All right. So we have 25 of 25 remaining. So we have, we started with.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. And thank you, everyone, for taking the time to participate. Appreciate it. We had large meeting. We had 97 attendees, so that's great, and I'm glad to see the public involved. And with that, I think adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.